Amen, amen. If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of John. John chapter 16. John chapter 16, we'll begin at 29. And while you're turning in your books, I'd like to take this time to thank Pastor for allowing me to speak to you this morning. Yes, sir, we want to make sure that we pray that the Lord give Pastor a complete healing this morning, Lord. If you don't know, he kind of fell ill this week and scared some of us. He scared some of us. I got a text on Wednesday. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. Hold up. What's going on? So I just thank God for allowing him to even be here today. Amen. Amen. So John chapter 16, starting in verse 29, the word reads, "Then his disciples said, 'At last you are speaking plainly and not figuratively. Now we understand that you know everything, and there is no need to question you. For this we believe that you came from God.' Jesus asked, 'Do you finally believe? But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when you will be scattered, each one going his own way, leaving me alone. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world.'" You may be seated. Verse 33 says, "I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me." I'd like to speak on the subject this morning, peace in Jesus. I remember my senior year in high school, my history class. And this may sound funny to some of y'all, my history teacher was actually our football coach. Most of the time, football coaches or history or gym teachers, stuff, they know most of the time teach health. But my teacher, my football coach was teaching history. And the funny thing about that year was he managed to get me and most of my closest friends all in the same class. And see, you're laughing because most of the time that ain't a good thing. But for us, it was an excellent thing because we got in the class and we challenged each other to see who could make the best score. Needless to say, that was like my best year in history ever. But I remember this specific day, coach didn't show up to class, and we had a substitute teacher. And I don't know if the teacher had a bad class, the class before us, or what was going on that day with her. But I remember her standing in front of the class, and she was about to give us our lesson. And she said, "I'm only going to explain this one time and one time only. So don't raise your hand. Don't say nothing. Once I explain it, that's it." And so after she finished explaining the lesson, me and my friends, we all looked at each other because the lesson she was explaining, how she was explaining it, went above all of our heads. We couldn't understand what she was trying to get us to do. And so my hand goes up. And she looked at me. And instead of saying, "Yes, what do you need?" she looked at me and said, "What do you want?" And I said, I didn't understand anything that you said. Her next words was to me, get out and go to the principal's office. I looked at my friends, grabbed my book bag, and went to the principal's office. Now, the second time I've ever been to the principal's office in high school. Notice I said in high school. And when I got there, the vice principal was there, and Mr. Tyson, never forget him, loved him to death. But Mr. Tyson looked at me and said, McQuillan, what are you doing in here? And so I explained to him what I was doing there. And he looked at me, he said, sit down, wait till the bell to ring, go on to your next class. You're not the first one she's done that to. Again, I don't know what was going on in that teacher's life. I don't know what was going on. Was it the class before us, or was something personal going on? But I can tell you this, she didn't have peace in Jesus. Because the way that she acted wasn't in a peaceful way. Here we have John, and he's writing about Christ, and Christ is speaking with his disciples, and the disciples were confused at one point. They were confused at one point. The things that Jesus was saying was going over their heads. And Jesus tells them in verse 33 that I'm telling you all this so that you may have peace in me. But in order for them to have peace, there were some things that they had to understand. It's some things here that John is writing for us to understand, some things that you must have a clear understanding of. And the first thing is, you must have a clear understanding of who he is. In 29, it says, the disciples said, at last you are speaking plainly and not figuratively. They're saying that you're now speaking plainly and not figuratively. They are saying, finally, you just came out with it. He said, finally, you're not speaking over our heads. You're not speaking in metaphors or figuratively. Finally, we can understand something. The worst thing I know to me is for someone to be speaking to me and talking over my head. And I'm sitting there and I'm trying to understand what they're saying. I'm trying to catch a word, just one word that'll bring it all together for me. And I'm standing there and I'm like, uh-huh. Yeah. If I can just get that one word to bring it all together for me. The disciples here said, finally, you're saying something that we can understand. You're giving it to us in a way that we can understand. You're not speaking figuratively. You're not speaking in metaphors anymore. If you go back to John chapter 16, this is what they were talking about. John chapter 16, verse 16. Verse 16 says, in a little while, you won't see me anymore, but a little while after that, you will see me again. It says that some of the disciples asked each other, what does he mean when he says, in a little while, you won't see me, but then you will see me, and I'm going to the Father, and what does it mean by a little while? We don't understand. So they ain't understand what he was saying, that in a little while we won't see you, but in a little while we'll see you again. See, they couldn't quite get it. They couldn't quite understand. He was talking above them. Jesus, in 19 of the same verse, same chapter, Jesus realized they wanted to ask him about it. So he said, "Are you asking yourself what I meant? I said, a little while you won't see me, but a little while after that, you will see me again. I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn over what is going to happen to me, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will suddenly turn to wonderful joy. It will be like a woman suffering from pains of labor when her child is born. Her anguish gives way to joy because she has brought a new baby into the world. So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Then you will rejoice, and no one can rob you of that joy. At that time, you won't need to ask me anything. I tell you the truth, you would ask the Father directly, and he will grant you your request because you use my name. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. I have spoken of these matters in figure of speech, but soon I will stop speaking figuratively, and will tell you plainly about the Father. Then you would ask in my name. I'm not saying I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you dearly because you love him and believe that I came from God. Yes, I came from the Father into the world, and now I will leave the world and return to the Father." They were confused about a two-sentence paragraph in a little while you won't see me anymore, but a little while after that you will see me again. It was two sentences that they were confused about. Jesus took those two sentences and his explanation went on for about 30 minutes. So they can get a clear understanding of what he was trying to tell them. It says, "Then the disciples said, 'At last you are speaking plainly and not figuratively.'" So now they understand what he was trying to say. In verse 30, it says, "At last you are speaking plainly and not figuratively. Now we understand that you are everything, and there's no need to question you. From this, we believe that you came from God." They said, because he's explained about him leaving for a little while, they won't see him, but then they'll see him in a little while. Because of that, now they understand that he knows everything. See, that went above some of y'all heads.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because we know that Jesus fed 5,000 with two fish and five loaves of bread,
amen.
Right?
Amen.
We know that Jesus walked on water, right? We know that he healed a man that was blind from birth. We know that he raised Lazarus from the dead, right? But them being confused and him explaining that he's leaving for a little while, but in a little while you will see him, is when they said, "Now we believe you know everything and you come from God." Y'all don't understand. He worked miracle after miracle after miracle, and they didn't understand. They couldn't fathom it. It went above their head. Who is this man? How many times did they ask that? Who is this man that even the seas obey? They couldn't understand. But he explained to them, "I'm going to be leaving y'all in a little while. You won't see me, but in a little while, I'll be back. You will see me again." So now, explaining that, they say that They now understand that he knows everything. And there's no need, it says, and there's no need to question you. For this we believe that you come, that you came from God. Not all the miracles. It was that those two little lines that he explained. See, ain't it crazy that God can work in your life like that? That you go through life and you may not know who he is. I knew at one time I didn't know who he was, but he was working miracle after miracle in my life. And then there's something small that make you get it, that make you understand that it's not me, it's him. Sometimes it's just the smallest things in life that make you understand, that helps you to get it. The disciples said, at last you are speaking plainly and not figuratively. Now we understand that you know everything and there's no need to question you. For this we believe that you came from God. So now they understand that he came from God. Now that was just the beginning. That was like the first step of their understanding, because it was still some lessons to be learned. So he said that that we now understand. Verse 31 says, Jesus asks, do you finally believe? He asks, do you finally believe? I've done all this. I done helped you out. They forgot about throwing their nets out, couldn't get a fish. Jesus said, throw it out again. Abundant of fish. But now you believe? Are you sure you believe? He says in 31, do you finally believe? 32 says, but the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when you will be scattered, each one of you going your own way, leaving me alone. He says that the time is coming. Matter of fact, the time is here now that you all will scatter, going your own way, leaving me alone. If you would turn to Matthew chapter 26, if you remember when he told them that they would do this. Chapter 26, verses 31. Chapter 26, verse 31. It says, on the way, Jesus told them, tonight, all of you will desert me. For the scriptures say, God will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised from the dead, I will go ahead to Galilee and meet you there. Peter declared, even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, Peter. This very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times that you even know me. No, Peter insists, even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. And all the other disciples vowed the same. So we like to start with Peter right there, but they say all the other disciples agree. They vowed the same. Like, I ain't going nowhere. We with you to the end. And Peter tried to hang in there. When the guards, when they came to seize Christ, Peter went to slicing people's ears off. And Jesus had to stop him. Peter was trying to be a G. Peter even started following them. But when he started seeing the persecutions that Jesus was going through, he started seeing them punished, the way they was whipping on them. And then they looked at him and said, ain't you with them? You one of them. We can tell by the way you talk. Jesus said, Peter said, I don't know that man. Peter denied him three times. I bet you can't count how many disciples stood around at the crucifixion. Because most of them scattered. Like he said, from North Carolina, we like to say, we got the saying, cut grass. I mean, they were running so fast that it looked like they were mowing the lawn. They left. Back in the West, they said, they got out of Dodge. Jesus told them in John 16, chapter 16, he told them that you will be scattered and each one going his own way, leaving me alone. But they just said that they believed he knew everything. They believed that he came from God. Jesus said, oh, you believe now. But I tell you, when the time is here, it's now that y'all going to leave me. Y'all going to scatter and y'all going to leave me alone. And we just read what they said when, not me. I ain't going nowhere. All the stuff you done for me, I ain't going nowhere. Turned right around and said, I don't know that man. I ain't one of them. But hear what he says. He says, yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. Jesus says, yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. I remember I used to love when my mama used to take us over to her friend's house because we would go over there or family member's house because we would go over there and all of us little cousins or friends, we would get together and play. And then the grown folks, they would normally be in the kitchen playing cards. And normally, most of the time, it goes from day to night. And so nighttime come, they send all the kids in the room while they continue playing cards. I do remember a few times waking up in the middle of the night, looking around, only a couple of kids left. It's dark. I walk out and I could see a light and I just walk to the kitchen and I spot my mama. And at that point, I'm good. I turn around, I go back in the room and lay back now because mama ain't left me. Mama ain't left me. Christ says that y'all were going to leave me, but I'm not alone because the Father is with me. If you have Christ, everybody in your life can leave, but you're not alone. But you are not alone. He says, yeah, I am not alone because the Father is with me. John 14. John chapter 14, verse 8. It says, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are my own, but my Father who lives in me does the work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. Christ said that he is in the Father and the Father is in him. He said that he is in the Father and the Father is in him. If you have Christ, you have Christ and the Father. You have the Son and the Father. You don't understand. You have a heavenly power to the second power. It's to the second power. Y'all don't understand that by accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior, you also are accepting the Father. He's living in you. They're one of the same. Jesus says, I'm in him and he's in me. When you see me, you see him. They are one of the same. And if you have no one else in your life, you still got them two. Amen. Them two are still with you. You must know who he is. In order to have peace in him, you must know who he is. He says that me and the Father is one of the same. I'm in him and he's in me. You can be in with us. They're one of the same. So you must know who he is. You also must have a clear understanding of why you need his peace. Why you need his peace. Verse 33 says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. He said, I told you all this so you may have peace in me. Notice he didn't say peace with me. He said, you must have peace in me. How many of us have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? Amen. So when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, Christ now lives in you. Right? Now, true that, it was hard enough to get us to that point to accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. Right? But now that we're there, it's hard for us to live in Christ. See, there's a difference. And a lot of people think it's the same thing, but it's not. Christ living in you and you living in him is two different things. So when you accept him as your Lord and Savior, he now resides in you. But you have to live in him. See, when you accept him as your Lord and Savior, there's a peace that comes. And that peace, it brings you and the Father together. And now you and the Father is at peace. But because before you accepted him, believe it or not, y'all was at war. And God's wrath was on you. But when you accept Jesus Christ, it's a peace that brings you and God together. But that's him living in you. You living in him is a different type of peace. This peace is about your lifestyle. It's about your lifestyle, a peaceful lifestyle. Isaiah 9 tells us that one of Jesus' names is the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And if you have Jesus, then you have the Prince of Peace. He tells us that if you go back, he says, I told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Meaning we must live in him. We must live in him in order to have this peace. Meaning that you are to have Jesus all on the outside of you. When people see you, they ought to see Jesus. You ought to be living in this Jesus peaceful bubble. It's a bubble you ought to walk around in. It's a peaceful bubble you ought to walk around in. 33 said, I told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. Some of us in here are going through trials right now. I know. I am. I see some hands up. Some of us have sorrow right now. Some of us going through both at the same time. Jesus says, on earth, here on earth, there will be trials and sorrows. You are going to go through trials and sorrows. But he said, I'm telling you this so you can have peace. Because if you are living in him, you have that peaceful bubble around you. When those trials come, they'll bounce off. When those sorrows come, they'll bounce off. You don't understand that it's going to be things that affect you, but it's not going to affect you. Talking like Christ right now, right? I'm going to leave y'all in a little while, but in a little while, I'll be back. But it's some things that may affect your situation around you. But if you're living in Christ and you got Christ's peaceful bubble around you, it won't affect you. My light bill is due today. I don't have the money, but I'm walking around with a smile on my face because I can't allow it to affect me and who I am in Christ. My best friend just passed away. I feel sorrow. It's a sad situation, especially sad for his family, especially those who don't know Christ. But why are you smiling? Because I'm at peace. I'm at peace with Christ. And I know what death means. My car just got repossessed yesterday. And now I'm walking to the bus stop, but I'm smiling. Because I live in Christ and I got peace. Amen. Amen. Let's go deeper. My mate didn't come home last night. Oh, there's a problem. But I'm smiling because I'm in Christ. And I got peace. And I understand that my mate gonna have to pay for that. Not me. I'm at peace. The world will give you trials and sorrow. Christ said, I'm telling you this so you can have peace in me. The peace in him is not something that comes and goes. It's something that you should wear on you all the time. When you get up in the morning, that's the first thing you should be put on. When you come home in the evening and you take your clothes off and you go into bed, you should leave that on. My wife always tell my little ones, if you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. So if you always got Christ on, you always ready for whatever the world throw at you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how bad it gets. Listen what Christ says. He says in 33, I told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have my trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. He says, take heart. Now, in translations, different translations says, be of good cheer, to cheer up. Also, in some translations, it says, be courageous. Take heart. But listen why he says take heart. Because I have overcome the world. Jesus said he has overcome the world. He already promised you that he'll never leave you. Even when everyone else leave you, he'll never leave you. If you reside in him, he'll never leave you. He said that he has overcome the world. My question is, what can the world throw at you that Christ hadn't already overcome? And so if he's with you, that's the first thing you should think about. He's with me. And so if he's with me, he's already overcome, then the victory is won. Amen. It's done. So we are living in this peaceful bubble because we have Christ. We are living in Christ. He said, peace in me means that we have to be in him to have that peace. And if he's overcome the world, then you're supposed to be able to overcome the world. It doesn't matter what the world throws at you. You should always, always have the peace of Christ. Amen. 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 If you would stand to your